Hi, my name is Hans Peter Meyer, and I'm the host of the Men's Work Podcast, where you'll find interviews with men and with women. You'll find yoga classes, you'll find reflections, you'll find a lot of material to hopefully help you move through the tests that life has handed you: end of marriage, loss of job, marital relationship stress, fatherhood, just being overwhelmed. It's a lot. So listen, if you need to talk, I've got no charge mini coaching sessions at menswork.ca. Enjoy the show. Okay, welcome everybody who's here early. Thanks for being here early. And while you're waiting, you can just get a head start on our introductory practice, which is slowing your breath down. Noticing your breath, breathing through your nose, softening the top of your throat, so you're almost making a snoring sound. Breathing down into your belly. And however you're sitting, whether you're sitting like me, cross-legged on a couch or on the floor, just feeling your sit bones connected to the earth. If you're sitting on a chair, feeling your feet connected to the ground. And as you breathe in and hold it in your belly for a second, just with the root of your heart, that pointy part of your heart, just kind of press down into your perineum, into your root chakra, pressing down into the earth, pressing down through your sit bones, through your feet, just making a connection to that energy below you. And then as you exhale, just letting that exhale coming up the front of your body, softening your belly, softening your heart, softening your throat. And then being empty just for a few seconds and feeling that emptiness and feeling the top of your heart, which is a brighter part of your heart, connecting through the crown of your head. And then breathing down again, down through that throat, that central channel, down into your belly. Your eyes are closed. Just focused on moving the breath through your body, letting it rest in each of the four parts. Visualizing the energy moving into the earth, and then visualizing as you exhale that you siphon up some of that earth energy and bringing it up through you to meet with the energy you're bringing in from above you, from the heavens. So you're this channel. And for a moment you are completely in alignment. And you don't need anything. You don't want anything. You're content just to breathe. To hear the sounds around you, to hear my voice. My voice isn't even all that important to you. It's most important, it's just the space you're creating to receive. So I lured you all here with a sexy topic of sacrifice.
I used to have a really low opinion of sacrifice. It was something I was never going to do, because I was in love with this idea of my independence and my sovereignty. And because I saw sacrifice associated with things that I didn't believe in or didn't understand. And so I did a lot of good things in my community and my relationships with my children. But I don't think I ever thought of them as sacrifice. In fact, I avoided that kind of thing. But with my kids, it was a little bit different. But certainly with adults, and certainly with women. So I'm just going to, for those of you who get my morning meditation for men, some of this will be familiar. You know that I've been writing about sacrifice. You know a little bit about what inspires that. I'm going to read a couple of passages. One is from Nina Lombardo, who's a student of David Data. You'll see her, find her stuff on Instagram under Way of Devotion. But the other day she wrote, "Intimacy is a result of being fully present with what is now. The degree to which we are avoiding, suppressing, or numbing whatever is arising in our present moment experience is the degree to which we are denying intimacy with ourselves, with our lovers, and with life herself." And a really similar and different perspective from another student of David Data's, Justin Patrick Pierce, who you'll find under his name on Instagram, but also you'll find him and his partner under Yoga of Intimacy on Facebook. It's great stuff. Anyway, he writes, "Absolute trust inspires absolute surrender. One is not possible in the absence of the other. This kind of trust is not solely based on the accumulation of past merit," which is a very masculine way of looking at things, like past merit is what builds trust. "But for the feminine, this kind of trust is based exclusively in the right now moment. And it is tested by your capacity to remain present and keep your heart from closing in the midst of the most challenging times." And then this quote that I just love, it keeps working for me, is from Kierkegaard. So for those of you who don't know, Kierkegaard, important 19th century philosopher, the end of the 19th century, an existentialist philosopher. "Only the one who descends into the underworld rescues the beloved." So all of these three quotes, but particularly this idea of being fully present with what is now, and especially in the midst of the most challenging times, for me, these are about sacrifice. And when I look at my life, most of my life, I tried not, you know, I did what I could to not go into that underworld, to not make that sacrifice, to hedge my bets. And I mean, I had all kinds of good reasons for that. Safety being the biggest one, and that's the biggest one that I see in people around me. I don't see a lot of us being willing to sacrifice very much. And the few people who are, you know, sometimes I think they're crazy, or I certainly don't understand them. And I think the general culture thinks of them as being crazy. But more and more, they have my respect. Because, and this goes to some things I'm listening to from a writer called Stephen Jenkinson, in his conversations with Kimberly Ann Johnson. He talks about our lack of appetite for apprenticeship, because apprenticeship actually means that we would submit to some kind of a master, and that in the process of our apprenticeship to whatever it is that we do, we would be willing to basically sacrifice everything that we thought we knew to obtain this knowledge and understanding. And I think most of us, certainly myself, for most of my life, were always hedging my bet on the side of safety, on the side of, well, maybe I'll put 10 of my dozen eggs into that basket, but I won't put all of them in there because what if something happens? So again, for those of you who get my morning meditation, you'll know that this morning I woke up, I was not very happy this morning. And I started by writing confidence. Where the fuck does that come from? And then reflecting, you know, that I am in this, and I use the image of the birth canal a lot. It really resonates for me. I am in the birth canal. I am in her underworld, in this place I just do not understand. I am on a deep, dark, and silent ocean. And I can feel the tug of my tide, my insecurity, pulling me towards the reef of my fears. And I am full of metaphors of testing, trying to make sense of this fear. But there is no making sense. More and more, I just come up against that there is only surrender or pointless struggle. I can't fight the process of this birthing. I am not in control. And the more that I think I'm in control, well, I do two things. One is I basically arrest the movement towards that which I want, because that's why I'm in this process, or that's why I'm in this birth canal, that's why I'm in this underworld. I have chosen to go here. And when I don't like it, I can either back out, play things safe, or I have to make some kind of sacrifice. At the very least, that sacrifice is the sacrifice of safety, to basically put all the eggs in that basket, to be all in. Because I'm not in control, I can just go with it. And at this point in my life and at this place where I'm in, it's much more important for me to do that. So where this all really came to a head for me was a couple of years ago. So I'd almost hit my wall the year before, and a number of things happened. Important relationship ended. My work, basically, I stopped being able to do my work. It just was such a dead thing to me. Probably much the same way that our relationship was such a dead thing to her. Anyway, we hadn't talked much in that year. And then for some reason, well, I know exactly the reason, but she had, and she was not somebody who expressed or even felt anger. She might feel disgust with how I wasn't getting it, but she was rarely angry with me. But in this case, she reached out of the silence and let me know she was angry with me for something. And my initial response was, well, it was just surprised that she had reached out, but also really very much wanting to hear from her. And so when we spoke, and she was angry about something, and she wasn't even asking me for something. She was just letting me know that she was angry about something. And I did something uncharacteristic. I sacrificed something that had been important to me, because it was important to her. I sacrificed it because it was important to her. And her response was, she was surprised. And I realized then that in all the time we had been together, that as much as I had been a pretty good guy, I wasn't an asshole, but I had never sacrificed for her. So she never felt, or I believe she could never really feel safe and really feel that her heart was what really mattered to me. It was only in that moment, you know, a year after she left, that I could see that that's what she needed. And you know, we didn't talk again for months after that. But for me, it was this, it was a revelation about how much I had protected myself, trying to be safe. And it was interesting when I talked to a couple of trusted friends about this, one of them understood and the other didn't. The other was like, well, you have as much right to that as she does. And it was all on the level of rights, or to use David Data's terminology, second stage relationship, you know, where we communicate about stuff, we share stuff 50-50, that kind of stuff. But what I realized in that moment, and what I was really grateful for, was that I don't want that. That's not enough for me. That what I want is what happens when I actually let go of something, when I sacrifice something that matters to me, because it opens up, it opens me up to experience more of that flow of love in me, but also around me, that now is much more important than ideas about fairness or exchange. So I've had a lot of time to think about this, and the more I think about it, the more I think that without some kind of quality of sacrifice, without, and I don't think it has to be a woman, but it, you know, without the partner who is the feminine to my masculine, without her knowing that I will sacrifice something for her, I don't think she will ever be able to fully reveal herself or to fully flow. And the more I look around, I mean, I look around at relationships all around me, and I see that subtly played out. And I see our attachment to, you know, not just mine, but the culture's attachment to independence and with one friend, there's a lot of the language of codependency stuff that they're really invested in, like to not be codependent. And I think that's all really good. And at some point, there's something that trumps all of that, and that is, and again, I'm thinking of David Data and the quotes from Lombardo and Justin Patrick Pierce are relevant here. If I want that really deep intimacy, if I want that to experience that, not only her surrender, but all that flows from that, then I have to be willing to sacrifice my safety, or what I think is my safety. And I guess that's the big one for me, is I realize that there is no safety, or the only safety is in that willingness to sacrifice. Now, Stephen Jenkinson was talking in the last one I listened to, the last conversation I listened to, he was talking about diminishment and how we, and I'm going to paraphrase him, but how we arrive at any kind of wisdom through our diminishment. And he used the analogy of of wine. So we start with a big vat of grape juice, and over years it turns into bottles of wine that has changed, and it has diminished. But as it has diminished, it has become so much richer. And so our lives are like fresh grape juice when we're young. And as we experience things like death, the heartbreak of death, the heartbreak of relationships ending, the heartbreak of friendships ending, the kind of breakage that comes with losing jobs, the kind of breakage that comes with losing limbs and capacities, all of these things are hard, and I'm not advocating that we go and find them, but they all come to us. And they can actually be a way that we deepen our relationship with ourselves and learn to experience much more about life than the things that we think are important. Data also has this wonderful, and again, I'm going to paraphrase him, but he talks about, you know, with regard to us as men, and at some point, maybe we get to a place of recognizing that as much as we want all the really obvious aspects of the feminine that have fueled our yearning for years, as he puts it, you know, you want all the tits and the ass and the pussy, but then you realize that you've had lots of that and it really wasn't all that good anyway. That there's something else. Those are just the delights, but there's something more. And I was thinking yesterday about how, what is it to feel love without all of those things that I have always associated with being with the beloved? And am I willing to sacrifice those things to experience a different order of love? And it's not really so much a question, it's just a reflection about how that seems to be the sacrifice that I'm making. And most of the time, it just feels like the right thing to do. My life just feels better, unimaginably richer and more beautiful. And I don't really understand it, except that in doing that, I feel freer. I feel more open to receive the other parts of my life and the other ways that particularly the feminine shows up. But I want to read this thing about, you know, a couple of days ago. This morning I woke up feeling pretty unhappy. And not in a spirit of wanting to sacrifice. But a couple of days I woke up, I wrote that I woke up feeling a calm, almost delighted considering of sacrifice. And then I quoted some scripture here, "Worthy is the lamb that was slain." And then I thought, yes, worthy is the sacrifice that I've made, and that these beliefs and behaviors, they have kept me safe. So they've had some value to me. But now I'm choosing to sacrifice those things for the opportunity to feel every fucking thing. And then I wrote, it's not just quote unquote letting go, because I hate this phrase. It makes it sound so easy. But I've never found it easy to let go of things that really stand in the way of myself. No, I prefer sacrifice with its unpopular Old Testament echoes of pain and suffering. And I am attached to these ways that protect me. I am attached to the things that stand in the way of myself, that stand in the way of me in intimacy, and for good reason. You know, their roots are deep. But to move even deeper into the richness of my vulnerability to life, because that's what I want. I want more vulnerability. I want to experience more. To experience more of my intimacy with life, with myself, and with my beloved. It's a painful, wrenching to let go of this safety. You know, when I gave up that thing to the woman I love, because I realized that it was time for me to sacrifice, I had to let that go. It was hard, but I could see and understand that it was what needed to happen, or else I would still just be stuck in that place. And what I did in doing that, I mean, I opened myself up to something, but I also know that, and I know just because of how she responded, that it opened something in her. And that's still there. You know, a lot of time has passed, but that she knows that not only did I do that, but that I'm capable of doing that. I mean, I've spent 62 years building protections around myself. So there's a lot to sacrifice. And it's frightening. And some days, like this morning, I wake up and I just feels too much. And it's frightening in every moment when I feel it. And right now, there is some sacrifice I am being called to make. I feel myself more willing than the day before yesterday. That was 2 days ago. Less so today. On that day, I no longer felt the need to be safe. The woman who beckons, or actually the feminine that beckons me to sacrifice, but particularly the woman, I recognize myself in her, and that she's just another aspect of me on this path, on this road. She just gives me a place to open up more. And she's burning with a dark flame to burn away some of this protection. And in the moment that I wrote that, it felt right to sacrifice that. And this morning, I was afraid again. So those are my beginning thoughts on this topic of sacrifice. And I think it's really important for me as a man, because everything I've learned, well, it's particularly everything I've learned since working with John Wyman. So that was 2 years ago I started. And it was something he said really early in taking his workshop. And he's doing another one, another co-ed workshop, and I strongly recommend that for anybody. But I had gone into this thing because it was under the umbrella of sacred sexuality, and that was something I knew that I needed to understand and somehow embody. And then he started talking about women's safety, not just in a energetic or spiritual level, but just in a very day-to-day safety. And how if we're not, as men, if we're not grounded, then we're dangerous. And then in one of the co-ed workshops I did with him last year, he closed it by asking, but towards the end, he asked all of us, how are we holding back in love? And then later on, specifically for us as men, he said, how are you resisting the feminine? And so when I talk about sacrifice now, a lot of it is, what am I ready to sacrifice that I can actually feel more of what the world, women, children, other men, whatever the feminine, whatever is moving and changing in my life, what am I willing to sacrifice that I can experience more of this instead of trying to protect myself? And I think it only comes through some kind of, for me anyway, it only comes through some kind of cost, or power, some kind of pain, some kind of having to choose. It's not a simple letting go. It's a wrenching of some kind. And I feel like that's the work that I know that's the work I'm committed to do, and it's the work I'm committed to teach. And I appreciate you listening to me for the last half hour. Any of you men have anything to, any questions or any comments of your own, just use the putting up your hand function here, and I'll let you speak in order of you putting your hands up. So, and if you don't have anything to say, then we'll just sit for a while. Okay, Matthew, unmute yourself and what's up?
Hang on. It just came up for me when you were mentioning how you had chosen to enter the birth canal, and that I'm just wondering if there is a level of sacrifice involved with you having chosen to go in there as well and to reside there, and if there could be something gained from sacrificing the your current place there.
I think the birth canal metaphor is really interesting. It came across my life I think I wasn't so over 20 years ago at another crisis time in my life, a time of diminishment, whatever. And this a counselor that I was working with had given me this tape, there was no name attached. I have no idea who the speaker was, but he talked about his thing was trust, like trusting the process, whatever you're in, to trust that. He says that when we find ourselves in these difficult situations, it's as if we're in the birth canal, and we can either choose to relax, to trust it and go with it, or we can dig our heels in with crampons, which is what we usually do, and then it just becomes painful and ugly for everybody. So that image stuck with me, you know, like the idea of, okay, I'm in some kind of process of being changed, birthed, whatever, and I can either let go or sacrifice of all of my resistance. Like I can take off those crampon boots, or I can keep them on. And I don't know, I guess in my life it's not so much a question of choosing to go into the birth canal. Maybe I was wrong in how I spoke about it earlier. I think we just find ourselves in these situations where it's like, whoa, I don't have much control here. And to go with what that speaker said, you know, I can either trust this, and that means, you know, and I mean, sacrifice can be, it sounds really dramatic, but sometimes that's a simple thing. Sometimes it is simple to let go of things. Most of the time, I don't think it is. At that point in my life, you know, I was dealing with the consequences of a life-changing accident and end of marriage and loss of career and, loss of a business falling, you know, like my business, basically I had to abandon that. And so lots and lots of things that I wanted to hang on to. And in some ways it was, you know, it was a blessing that I'd had this accident, because it meant that I, as much as I wanted to hang on, I really just had to let go. So a sacrifice was made in terms of my capacity to hang on, but it, and I guess I had to sacrifice some things, like I had to just give up my ideas about my marriage and the home that I built and this business. I'm not sure I'm answering your question. I think when we are, at least in my experience, when I'm in that birth canal situation, which I'm in now, it doesn't feel like it. My choice doesn't really matter. I mean, I guess I either go to the chopping block willfully, or I put up a big fight. And I think I'm learning that the fight isn't what it's about.
Thank you. Yeah, it brought some clarity to, I think, how I was viewing that experience as well. And I would just say I'm at a point as well of maybe not looking at my life but in terms of what I've been sacrificing. But lately I've been making an effort to sacrifice my own my certainty around how I view, how I perceive the world. And I had an experience today where I felt it was appropriate to do that. And I had this experience with this woman where I could feel, I felt our hearts were connecting, but it was just, it seemed like it was this open, just felt like it was like an open space where my heart was. And it was just like, as I was talking to her and making eye contact, there was just this like opening going on. And I would say it was hollow, but it was a new experience for me. And since you've been talking, I've been in moments reflecting on that. And I'm wondering if it may even be calling me to have let go or to have sacrificed even more, because I think I was still holding on to an assumption about that interaction. And maybe that's why there was that a certain degree of hollowness there, is like I'm still holding back somewhat.
There's a in the current, so right now I'm doing a 90-day practice because I just did a week of training. So we have 90 days of a particular practice. And in the beginning, so some of the preamble to this practice is, and again, I'm paraphrasing, but Yogi Bhajan talks about our fear of the vacuum. So this whole practice is a sometimes called the prosperity practice, but I call it which to me is just it's an invitation for the flow of the feminine. So my interpretation around that is that generally and particularly as men, we're afraid to allow that vacuum. So maybe that's the emptiness you're talking about, but it's a space where I have no idea what's there or what's coming. And I feel like I should be saying something or doing something, but instead I'm just going to hold that space. And then in Yogi Bhajan's terms, he says, God fills every vacuum with love, with whatever we need, with understanding. So, but we have to be willing to create that vacuum. So if you were able to create some kind of empty space there, and for your heart to be open, and if to the extent that you could be relaxed, and to the extent that, that she's a feminine identified woman, she's going to feel like that's a safe place. And then that just allows something to flow in there that neither one of you have control over. That's my take on that stuff.
So
for me, that's what I'm trying to cultivate in my life is like how, how much, and here I am talking, but how much silence can I stand? How much vacuum can I create? How much vacuum can I hold space for? Sacrificing my, because for me, that emptiness, that vacuum is scary. It's like, somebody's got to be doing something here, instead of I'm doing enough by holding the space. Like, that's all I need to do here. I can let flow what needs to flow. I don't have to be controlling that. Okay, I'm going to, got Chad, you had your hand up. Do you still have a question?
Yeah, I'm trying to turn everything on for you here. I can. We just kind of took a different direction, so I was just wondering how relevant it was still, but I guess I could talk about what my thoughts were as you were going as well, without regard to Matthew's different take on it, which was good too, by the way. Actually, it brought it around a little bit better for me. So, but what I was thinking after you had spoken, just to show you how different the plane was that we were on, at least today, I'm not a big pontificator anyway, but you were talking and saying very weighty things from important people. And I think it all matters very much, but I'm sitting here thinking about a beer commercial instead. In the beer commercial, the great Wendell Middlebrooks, rest his soul, says, oh, you a metaphorical kind of guy. And I'm thinking, okay, but let's get out of this and down here a little more. And so I started thinking of the sacrifice. And you said a few things there, just recently that I think made a little more sense to me. But I'm just like, okay, what is the sacrifice? My first thought is that that's not a way of looking at it that flies well in my house. So when I'm doing these type of things, it's to try and understand my wife better because she does them. She does them differently. And she rejects the notion of life being a grind and sacrifice and effort and work and all of this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Not that necessarily means anything you said is wrong. It's just maybe you have to use a different word. Mm-hmm. Because some of the things I think you said made sense to me. It's not sacrifice so much as you have to be willing to give make a different choice. Even to say give up sounds like sacrifice. You just have to make a different choice. Some of that makes sense, as you know, you're not a single man anymore, you're a married man, so that means changes. And then some of the things you said here recently, you know, about letting the vacuum not be filled, that starts to speak a little more truth to me, that you know, I see where that means too. That's not the same as sacrifice, but it's still facing that fear of, okay, I need to act, I need to fill this space, I need to do this. No, you don't, you just need to sit, right? So I just wanted, you know, if the discussion can go there to start talking a little more real world about what these things look like, because you mentioned with one of your partners that you realized at that point that you had to make the sacrifice. And I guess I didn't catch what the heck that was though. What did you sacrifice at that point?
So we're both part of a yoga community, and she had introduced me to this teacher years before, and that was nice, you know, but I didn't particularly jump on those teachings until after we had separated. And then I started showing up for this teacher. And at some point she showed up as well, and she felt like, well, I was interloping. I was in her space, and she didn't have, she was angry, she didn't feel safe, whatever. And in some ways, as my friend said, you know, like she doesn't own that space. It's because a lot of other people there and stuff. But I realized that was something I could give up, or that I needed to give up. If I was to have integrity, then I would have to give that up. So I would have to sacrifice that. And it wasn't an easy thing to let go, because the time with that teacher was really valuable to me. But it was even, what was even more valuable was my integrity. So I sacrificed, I gave that up. And I think the language around sacrifice really rubs us, most of us, the wrong way, because I think we have a lot of entitlement and a lot of ideas about independence, and you can't tell me what to do, and I have the rights to do this and do that. And we also have ideas about 50-50 and fairness in relationships of any kind that don't make a lot of room for this thing that really is about, that feels hard. And that isn't to say that all sacrifices have to be that hard, but you know, we're making choices, as you said, every day about things, and sometimes they feel like they're hard. And I would say that those are the ones that it might be interesting to look at as sacrifices. And what am I why am I giving this up? And it isn't so much as a, like in the case with this yoga teacher, it wasn't about a trade. it wasn't about, okay, if I give this up, you're going to like me or anything like that. It's about, you know, I will give this up because I know that this is the right thing to do for me, but I would not feel right if I didn't give this up. And I think that's, you know, that's, in some ways, the language of one sacrifice is seen in a bad way, because we have, and again, to go back to the language of codependency and stuff, we've tended to look at it like a trade, and if I do this, then you'll behave better, or you'll stop drinking, or you'll love me, or something. But it isn't about that. I think it's about, it's a relationship with ourselves, that we do this thing because we know it's the better thing for ourselves to do. Which isn't to say that we don't make, I mean, you know, you make sacrifices, you've got three kids, you make sacrifices every day for the sake of your family, but that's part of how you maintain your integrity as a father. And you probably do the same kinds of things with your wife. You, at some level, you make choices that are difficult, And you don't make them for her, you make them for yourself so that you can have integrity as a husband.
Yeah, I guess it's important to note, if we want to stick with the language of sacrifice, which I think is fine, it's easily understood, a lot of men are unwilling to make the basic ones, and so the marriages fail. But I think there are a million ones down the line that get much more complicated, and that's where I am, right? So my wife says, hey, I'm happy that you made all these other ones, but they don't mean that much to me. It's just mundane stuff. And when I'm saying that those things, I'm saying, and you mentioned to it, okay, so a lot of men don't figure out that you have to stop going out and getting loaded with your buddies all the time. You have to stop banging other chicks. You have to, save some money for the family, not you'll spend it all, gambling or whatever. Those it's basic stuff that people should understand, but people still don't. But it gets a lot more complicated after that, right? So I've done all those sacrifices. I've given up lots of personal things, lots of things and stuff and all that I could have had. But now it's like, and this is where it starts to be, maybe sacrifice isn't the right word, is how much of yourself can you give or try to change to fill in, where she, to get that masculine and feminine to go, because after 25 years, I'm not sure we're going to go the same direction anyway. But if we were, how much can you give and take to make the relationship strong? And it starts to get way past the point of, I didn't go to the bar with the buddies, or I did the dishes or any of that stuff. It starts to get, how much do you give of yourself or who you think you are?
My thoughts on that are that if you are in the masculine in the relationship, and just because you're a man doesn't mean that's you, but if you're in the masculine, then you are responsible for the direction of the relationship, and you hold that container. And you know that I love the ship metaphor, or whatever. You just know that she's going to throw some nasty weather at you. She's going to want to take the ship over here, and your fear's going to want to throw it on the rocks. And the way I think about this now is, it's not about me anymore. It's about how I serve. Again, I'm going to use David Data's stuff. But, it's how do I serve love here? And sometimes that means being really clear about what certain boundaries are. But it also means recognizing that some things aren't really a threat. It wasn't that long ago that I felt really threatened by certain ideas that this woman had about our relationship. Now they don't threaten me, ironically. But at that time they did, because I wasn't willing to, I didn't have the grounding, that's how I put it now. I wasn't grounded enough to go, oh, like, you want to make some kind of change. Cool. I know that you love me. I know that I love you. Let's see what happens. And what's top of my mind, or, for me these days, is just, what is my experience of love and how much do I trust that? Not how much do I trust what a woman says or does, but how much do I trust the energy of love that I feel coming off of her? And they're different, because she, because I think she is always testing. She's always like, all the things that you said, that was fine. All the things that you, like you said, all the things that was great. But in this moment here, what are you going to do? Like, are you still there? Or are you going to flip out? And I just think that most of us, most of us men and women too, we just don't like those storms and we flip out. We're not willing to sacrifice. We think that there's something better. And I, you know, again, I'm a big David Data fan. He has this thing where if you are a masculine identified man and you're in love and attracted to feminine identified women, you are signing up for suffering. And then I would say, you're signing up for suffering to the extent that you are not willing to sacrifice your ideas about how things should be. We're so used to driving motorboats that we've forgotten that when they sailed across the Atlantic, sometimes it would take them weeks and sometimes it would take them months. But they didn't have an option. They didn't go, "Ah, oh, I'm out of here. You know, let's start the motor." It was like, "What do we do now?" We, you know, and I think that's where some of us are at. Is like, okay, now we're sailing across the Atlantic, and nothing's happening, and it feels like the dead zone, and I want to bail. I want to go and jump in that motorboat over there. Especially if she's got like a beautiful woman in a bikini in it, because that looks nicer. Instead of just going, this is just how it is. If we're going to do this thing, that's me. So I agree with you that the sacrifices get more, they actually get more demanding because they ask us to go deep. I think they ask us to go deeper. And they ask us to really question, like, what's important to you? What's important to me? And, you know, the cigarette boat with the beautiful woman in the bikini is not important to me anymore. This boat that seems to be stalled in the worst latitudes halfway across the Atlantic, that's what's important to me. So that's the sacrifice. And I think, you know, it keeps coming up in, you know, the men who sign up for John Wineland's workshops, for example, I see it all the time. You know? We love somebody or we loved somebody or, and now things are different, and how do you know? And lots of us are in those workshops trying to, maybe this will fix things, you know? It's like, I don't think it'll fix anything except maybe it'll deepen us enough, or, you know, for my part, it'll deepen me enough that I can actually hold the space and allow her, whatever she's doing, to stop being frightening and actually become beautiful. Like, that's my goal. I want to be so grounded that it doesn't matter what life throws at me, I can start to receive it as something beautiful. And I'm going to go back to Stephen Jenkinson's note about diminishment. You know, like, we're really afraid of diminishment. We're really afraid of losing something, but that's just life. Like, life is about losing. It's about losing our hair. It's about, you know, losing our muscle tone. It's about losing our loved ones because people die. It's about losing our health. It's about losing money. It's about losing all kinds of things. And in that process, you know, we can either become bitter or we can sacrifice some of our ideas about what success means and go even deeper. And that, I think, is what attracts and maintains a connection with the feminine, is just seeing our capacity to be diminished, but not be less, if that makes any sense. And I think, you know, what your point is that, or I think what your, you know, part of your point is that as we get, the longer we're in relationship, the more those tests, the more those sacrifices ask for us. But that's just my opinion. So I just want to remind you about the Soren Kierkegaard quote. Most of us avoid any idea of the underworld, probably as much as we avoid the idea or the actuality of sacrifice. But if you've spent any time in relationship with the feminine or desiring the feminine, I think that's just the reality, is that there's a darkness. And not a negative, well, it feels like a negative darkness, but it is an underworld. It doesn't make sense. It confounds us. And yet we're drawn there. And I think that's part of our, that lets us know that we're masculine identified, that we have this, you know, this polarity. We want this unknown thing. And to risk that means to be willing to sacrifice the light, what's reasonable, what makes sense, for something that we don't have a clue about. And sometimes I found that really frightening and run away from it. And now I find it mostly, this morning I didn't, but most of the time I find it, it's really rich. And I'm grateful to have that. So that's the end of the hour, guys. Jason, did you have anything you wanted to add to what was said? Any questions? Chad, Matthew, thank you for your comments. I don't know if you guys know this, but my mother was listening in. My mom. Thanks a lot, guys. Talk to you later.
That's pressure. You did well. Thank you.
Oh, next week, I'm hoping to, it's not confirmed yet, but a guy who is he's been a mentor to me most of my life. And he's right now dealing with, right now BC is going through a series of climatic change catastrophes. And he's someone who's worked in the Middle East, facilitating and negotiating things, and now he's working in BC to help communities dealing with those kinds of issues. So he had some interesting questions for me the other day, and as they relate to the masculine and the feminine and how we in a very masculine culture relate to the changes happening in our climate and on the earth. So I'm hoping that he'll be here to talk with us next Wednesday. I hope you can join me.